Okay, John chapter 14, and we're probably just going to do part one, part two, part three, and who knows how many parts we'll have. But last week we started with Love Me, Love Me Not from John 14, 21 through 24. And so let's read there again. We'll start in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. All right, so let's get back into this again. We did the, you know, he loves me or she loves me, he, she loves me not. So the question then was, Jesus said, whoever has my commandments. So the commandments, remember, the commandments aren't the Ten Commandments. I don't think it's the first and second great commandments. Although it, in essence, it would be all of those things. But I really think what John is communicating, or Jesus is communicating to us here, and then John does it in 1 John, kind of takes the same idea that Christ presented to the disciples, is that the commandments, the word, the word of Jesus, all of that, it's modeling our lives after Christ, after his pattern. It's taking what he did, taking the example that he left us, and trying to follow in his footsteps. And so the commandments, or this pattern, it does us no good if we don't commit to obedience, right? You know, and as parents, we've all seen that. You can have all the rules you want, but if you don't enforce them, if you don't make your children obey them, then they're useless. You know, the same with this, you know, speed limit signs and all of that. You know, and yes, there's that grace that most police officers are willing to extend, you know, whether it's the 5 or 7 or however many miles, you know, they have that they'll give you. But at some point, what do they say? Then enough is enough. You know, you just cross the threshold, and we have the rule, and you have to obey it. And is it out in the Northwest? Aren't there a couple spot places where there isn't, or is there anybody from out there? Montana, a couple highways, they have like no speed limit, or it's drive at your own risk, or whatever. Something or other. Or I guess if you're in Germany, isn't Germany like that? Those some highways there, you know, you just, but again, I would say, how many of you have been in there, driven on the Autobahn? Isn't there still? Okay. All right. Because I thought somebody told me once, even with that, like if you were driving recklessly, you could still get pulled over. Like, you know, they weren't going to pull you over for actually speeding, but you still had rules that you had to abide by. You couldn't just start cutting people off and causing them to wreck because, you know, there was no speed limit. And so, you know, any command, any rule, it does no good if it's not obeyed, if it's not enforced. And that obedience, it's our outward symbol of an inward decision to love, to want to keep that rule, to want to be a good citizen, to want to be a good spouse, to want to be a good child. Whatever the scenario, the obedience is just the outward expression of the inward desire. And we choose based upon the decision. We determine to obey. We determine to do what we're asked, or to do what we know pleases someone else, because we are trying to prove our love to them, or show our love to them. Maybe prove is the greatest of words. But, you know, I want to show that I love someone. So if I know something that they like or don't like, then I model, I change, adapt a little bit for them, because I understand where they're coming from, and I want to help them. I want to show my love to them. All right, and then we look just briefly, I think we kind of ended up here. You know, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, so has and keeps. I think Dick would be the last one on that one. I think the center got it. But having and keeping, all right? Having, if you have something, you know, you have it in your hand, you're wearing it, you're holding it, you're possessing it, you know, all of that. And then keep is to guard it, to observe it, similar to what we've been talking about. All right, so my paraphrase was, whoever has possession of my commandments with the intent to be immersed in them and then observes them diligently in order to keep them, he it is who loves me. So John's assumption is that if we know what Jesus wants, then we obey out of love. You know, that whole concept of if you know what someone wants, you can do what? You can do one of two things. You can either deliberately irritate them because, okay, I know what they want, and I don't care to give it to them. I don't care to help. And so I'm just going to deliberately pick at them or irritate them. Or I know what they want, and I'm going to submit to that and be in submission to them and prove and show my concern and my love for them. All right, so isn't this the same as we think in regards to our spouse, our children, our friends? You know, if we know that our friend enjoys something or our children, you know, we expect them to obey, but we want them to do it out of love. And, you know, we do things for our spouse. You know, we fold towels a certain way because that's the way they like it. Or, you know, we put the toilet seat down because that's the way they like it. And, you know, different, you know, and I'm sure wives, you fix food a certain way because that's the way your husband would like it. Sometimes. I'm just kidding. All right. My wife likes stuff really, really hot and I don't. And she likes spicy stuff and I don't. So it's kind of a mix. But we, you know, we strive to do those things that please and honor and help them. So then John basically says our lifestyle should be characterized by obedience to Christ. It reflects the love that he has for his children. All right, so now we get down to the middle of the verse. It says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. So notice the premise or the condition for being loved by the Father. All right, did you see what it was? Let me see if I can go back one. All right, so what is it? We have to love Christ first. He says, if you love me, then you'll be loved by the Father. So we don't get the Father's love unless we love Christ. You know, and don't miss that. That's important. You don't get the blessing of the Father either unless you are on board with the Son. Okay, and so keep, you know, as we go through this, keep that. You know, John says over in 1 John, whoever keeps his commandments does what? He abides in God. And God's in him. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he's given us. And so now that Spirit is now working to give peace and confidence and assurance that we are sealed, that we are in Christ. But if we don't, if we're not loving Christ, if we're not abiding in Christ, then really what Jesus says is, if you're not abiding in me who you see to his disciples, then you know what? You're not going to believe in the God that you haven't seen. So this love is a mark of the relationship of the Father to the Son. And then by what's the word I'm looking for? To carry it down a step, it means that a loving relationship of the believer to the Son, then it naturally implies a loving relationship of the believer to the Father. All right? Because if you love the Son, then you love the Father. And if you love the Son that the Father loves, then you'll be loved by the Father. So it kind of goes both ways. So what are some scenarios that illustrate this in our lives? Anybody think of something? All right, I'll give you one, then maybe you can think of something else, all right? Men, when you fell in love with your wife, all right, your spouse-to-be, your wife-to-be, who else did you begin to love because you loved her? Her parents, your in-laws, all right? So, you know, because you love her,
you extend that love to her parents, to your in-laws, right? And so then, that's the scenario. That's similar to what Christ is talking about. You love the Son, and because you love the Son, you're going to love the Father. And because you love the Son, then the Father is going to love you. And then if you love your wife as you ought to, and I know that no man has ever married a woman who her father thinks is worthy. I think I said that right. But at some point, if you're caring for her and treating her as you ought to, then I think at some point the in-laws will begin loving you because of your love for their daughter. And if when they see that you're taking care of her and that, you know, if you take care of her better than they did, maybe they won't like you so much. But you know, they're gonna have a love for you because you are caring for her. All right. So with that illustration, you may think of something even more, something different, or something along the same lines. All right, Lauren. Okay. All right, so if a teacher is truly loving her students or his students like they ought to and communicating with the parent's going to appreciate and love the teacher for going the extra mile and telling them the truth about their child and then working together to make that happen. All right, yes. Okay, so with the foster children, those that are getting ready to adopt them, you fall in love with that extended family. Okay, how many of you know, another thought I had was, you know, your best friend, right? You have a best friend and maybe, you don't really, you're not best friends with their friends, but you accept their friends. You enjoy being around their friends because of your best friend. Does that make sense? You know, some of you going there with me. You might not enjoy them as much as you do enjoying being around the one, but you accept them. You bring them into the group because of your love for that one other person. Okay. So, since the Son loves the Father, if we love the Son, then we'll love the Father. And as the Son served and obeyed the Father, the believer's life is that the expectation is that it will be one of service. It will be one of obedience to Christ because we know that Christ was just fulfilling the commands of the Father. Yeah, right? Because again, as we go through John, we see over and over again, what does Jesus say? I'm just here to do the will of my Father. I'm just here to do what he tells me. What he says, I do. And so when we realize, okay, Christ was obedient. Christ did all that the Father wanted him to do. And as we love him, we see that and we say, man, I want to do what he wants me to do. So as Christ did what the Father wanted him to do, then as I follow Christ, my Lord and Master, I want to do what he did and what he wants me to do. And so I'm just going to follow in his footsteps, which then ultimately is what we're following in really the Father's footsteps. Because the Father lays the pattern, Christ is fulfilling that pattern, and then we're following Christ. And so it's all working together that we are following in doing the will of God, just as Christ did. Then at the end of the verse, at the end of verse 21, he says, I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will love him and manifest myself to him. Notice how Jesus wraps this up. He says, I will love him and manifest myself. What does it mean to manifest? What is manifest? I know if you're a Navy guy, it might mean something different, but we don't mean it that way. All right, disclose. Show yourself. All right? The what?
Mannerisms.
All right, the mannerisms.
Looked it up on Blue Letter Bible. It was to manifest. I don't know why they used the word to define the word, but exhibit, to view, to show oneself, to come to view, appear, to indicate, disclose, declare, make known. All the different meanings behind the Greek word there, that's translated for us, manifest. And so think for a minute, and then we'll come back to this. But think for a minute about how Jesus will manifest or show himself to the disciples. All right, you can kind of think about that in the back of your mind. And while you're thinking on that one, if you can do two things at once, let's go to the next question. What was the purpose of Christ manifesting himself to the disciples? All right, because remember, what is the context in what he's talking right here? He just told them that he's going to do what? He's going away. And then he says, I'm going to come back. You'll see me, but the world won't see me. And, you know, he's going on and on. And so what was the purpose of him now manifesting himself to the disciples very soon?
Prove everything he said.
All right, to prove everything he said. And what else? Right, to bring them comfort and peace and to strengthen their faith and to, okay, you know, everything that I've been saying, you know, don't, you know, again, don't let your heart be troubled. Just continue believing in me. Continue believing in God. And yes, I'm going to go away for a little bit, but I'm going to come back. And, you know, and I'll give you another comforter, you know, because you won't have me always, but you'll have this comforter always. But I will come back. I will show myself to you again to give you comfort, to give you peace of mind, to strengthen your faith one more time, one last time. All right? So, when did Jesus manifest himself to the disciples?
Whenever the Holy Spirit came.
All right, even before then?
Well,
okay, on the road to Emmaus. But even, really, right, in the upper room. It was just after his resurrection, right? I mean, and he appeared to different ones, and then he appeared to all of them, and, you know, Thomas wasn't there, and he came back the next week, and then Thomas was there, and, you know, for, was it 40 days?
48.
You know, he was on the earth, teaching and talking and showing himself to them. All right, so it was during that time that, yes, Jesus did manifest himself to the disciples. He appeared to them, but, go ahead.
Over 500 of
right. Yeah, during that 40 days.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, a lot of believers at least saw him. You know, whether the unbelievers saw and recognized or not, we're not sure. Because, again, Christ said, you know, the world, you know, you will see me, the world won't. Exactly. You know, we talked about that last week and understand some of that. But think about how does Jesus manifest himself to us, to future believers? All right? Does it have to be physical?
No.
Okay, no. All right? Because obviously, you know, we don't see Christ in the flesh like the disciples did after the resurrection. You know, we don't have that that experience like they had. And so, yes, it could be physical, but how else does Christ manifest himself? All right, he changes our heart.
Our mind.
And our minds. He renews our minds. All right, what else?
Works in circumstances that are not explainable other than him.
All right, he works in unexplainable ways that we...
We see things in our lives that, if you think about them, aren't possible or wouldn't be common from just...
Okay.
In difficult times, he also brings his peace beyond our understanding.
Okay. So we have that peace and comfort that the world doesn't have.
Right.
That others have, you know, they don't know how to cope. Okay. All right. Yes, Florence.
I think as a Christian, we start to see Christ in pretty much everything because when I was flying a lot, I'd be looking out the window and I would see God. I mean, like, everywhere, like, in awe of just what I'm looking at. And other people
Okay.
And I like the whole praise and worship. Pastor Sean talks all the time about just singing in the car, just being crazy or whatever, you know. And I guess I've tried to be more aware of that as opposed to being stressed out in traffic and on the way home, I'm tired at the end of the day, and just our general, to put the praise and worship music on, or to recite verses or whatever. And as silly as it seems, I can literally just feel that presence just calming the worship moment, and it changes me.
Right.
By the time I get home, I am a different person from the time I got in the car. And I just think it's because the focus changes who I am and what I do.
All right. Anybody else have a thought? All right. You know, we know that Christ will manifest himself again when he returns, right? So we will see him physically if we are alive. And if not, we'll see him when we die. But in the meantime, what he makes himself known through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through creation that Florence mentioned, through prayer, through the manner in which he is directing our lives on a daily basis. You know, all of those things, everything that y'all mentioned, you know, he works in and through all of that to show himself to us. And then in verse 22, it's interesting. It says Judas, and then it has to say not Iscariot. He says, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And two questions you can ask yourself, or two questions to ponder this week. One was, if you could trade places with a Bible character, who would it be? And then we'll talk about this next week. How is it that Christ, or how is Christ going to manifest himself to the disciples and not to the world? And we'll close with that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use your word. Thank you for the message the pastor brought us this morning, and the encouragement that it was. I pray for those that will be in the 10:45 service that you would encourage their hearts and be a blessing to them as well. And I ask that you would continue to show yourself to us. We thank you for some answered prayers that have even happened this week, and the doors that you have begun to open for some. We thank you. Thank you for Greg's safe getting home safely. We continue to pray for Chuck as well, that you would bring him home safely and watch over him. Thank you for our class. I pray that you would help us to have a great time of fellowship at the backyard barbecue, that the weather would be nice as we are anticipating it to be as much as we can for right now. And I ask that you would give us a good week. In your name, amen.